Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Pride members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Comment about our appearance. I'll just keep it in. Kate's like, I look like a trash bag.
I look like dog shit, and my house looks like a poor house.
It's fine. It's fine, Kate. All right, welcome back to another edition of Zero Block 30. Today we have three rounds of the magazine. Round number one. The Houthis are acting up again, and now they're getting shot up and killed in the middle of the sea. They're not happy about it, but there's good reason that it's happening. We're going to tell you all about that. There's a new league of like 10 nations that are getting together, and we're like, Houthis, no more. You're not getting in the way of shipping lanes anymore. And it's all about money. It's all about money. I mean, that's all
imagine that.
Really care about. Yep. Round number two, there is a group of veterans. There's 231 of them, but there's a lot more online that are getting behind these fellas. There's a big old storm on military Twitter. Instagram is picking it up and all the different social media sites. These veterans are the most veteran-y veterans that I've seen in a long time. They are upset. And they wrote, not a manifesto, because I think a manifesto makes you automatically crazy if you write a manifesto. They rewrote their own like version of the Declaration of Independence. What I think happened is one of these fellas was like at home. It was a long break over Christmas and New Year's. And he's going through. What's that?
Probably on block leave.
Yeah, probably on block leave, sitting around doing a little bit of watching some shows with his spouse, was hanging out on HBO, came across Hamilton and got really inspired and was like, I need to go back to some of the original days. That's what's going on with the military right now. These are the problems. So they wrote a new Declaration of Independence where they take shots at a lot of people. And we're going to talk about it. I kind of like these guys. The gumption, I just can't imagine sitting with you guys and being like, you know what? We're going to have a joint. Even if I said, we have a show together. We have a joint thing. But we've never made like a joint statement about it.
No,
we've
never put out about a anything.
What kind of show are we that we don't have a petition for something?
I mean, we should make a statement, I guess. Like, we can make an official statement. That's something that we should probably do, is put out official statements. Well, these folks are doing it. They made a Declaration of Independence that has to do with something that's just absurd. We're going to talk about that in round number three. And finally, this is going to be a quick round. I'm a sucker for royal families. I am. And it seems like every couple of months, I'm finding out about a new royal family that exists. And they're all kind of interesting. One of which, did you know that the Emperor of Japan is one of the world's most four leading? What's that word that I'm looking for? Foremost. Yeah, he's foremost expert on fish. He does fish studies.
Good for
him. He's an emperor and he's just a fish guy. He has all kinds of
island.
He does. Yeah, it's an island, Kate. You're absolutely right. They got a lot of water over there. Mm-hmm. He does all kinds of stuff with his fish, and he's published in all kinds of scientific journals in names that aren't emperor, whatever his name is. He uses a pseudonym, and he just wants to be a scientist, doesn't want anybody reading it just because he's an emperor.
Well, I'll be darned.
He wants to be taken based on his merit, not his title. I get it.
Exactly right. We're going to have that and more. Cons has a big day today. He had tears in his eyes when he signed on to the podcast. Big day in the life of a new dad. What'd you have to do today, Cons? What'd you have to do?
I had to drop my daughter off at daycare for the first time in her life. I had to entrust her in her life and her well-being and her nap schedule and her feeding schedule in the hands of complete strangers, right? You know, we did, and when I say we, I mean primarily Alex, did extensive research into the daycares in our area. And any parent can tell you, I think it's ridiculous how competitive it is to get in a daycare, not because, you know, they're like, you have to take like an entrance exam as a 6-month-old. It's just, you know, there's only so many daycares to go around, and the good ones get reputations as being good ones. So all the parents want to send their kids there. And obviously they want to keep the class size small. So we actually paid for this daycare months ago, many, many months ago, before we even bought the house, which was a risky maneuver.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. We had like a cutoff date where,
Yeah.
But it's what we had to do just to make sure she was in a good one. We did not do well with that because obviously we've been with her every day since she's been born. I've gone on some trips here and there. Alex has gone on some trips, but we or our family has always been with her. So the idea of just here, stranger, take my child and please keep her alive all day and happy.
For a majority of the day, for the majority of the time that she's going to be awake.
Yeah, that's what I said to Alex the other day. It's like they have her for 90% of the awake time. Like she got up today at 6.
Yep.
And we dropped her off at like 8. Early We're going to get her at 5 and she'll go down somewhere between 6 and 8. So, you know, it's crazy to think that your time with her also gets cut in half. But I will say when Alex went back to work like the week after Christmas, which was unexpected just the way things timed out, and she was working and I was doing some things, you don't realize like how difficult that is to manage that. Like it's doable, but it's just a pain. So it was nice to have, you know, me not feeling like, Alex is just stuck with her or I'm just stuck with her all day while the other person is doing something anyway. So what's great now, as you all know, though, with technology, we just get the updates. I mean, this is day one, but updates all day, naps, feedings, pictures, and that certainly helps. If I didn't have any idea what was going on, I think I would be a much more of a wreck right now.
Oh, I disagree, Cons. I think that those, I understand the loveliness of it. Same thing, Baby Dale and Baby Gus, whenever they go to the to the boarding place, they have it. I didn't have any of that stuff until the very last end of McCartney being in daycare. Yeah. I feel like I was more stressed out with it than without it. Because with it, I would look in and be like, oh, man, McCartney's standing there. They look sad. Like, what's going on? I wonder, like, are they okay? Everybody else is up from a nap. McCartney's up, not up yet. Why are they feeling sick? Like, you go through all those little emotions. And I would constantly, and Kate might be the worst about it in the world, looking every 2 seconds at the daycare app to see what's going on. Just obsessed with it.
Now. His new one doesn't have one, so they send pictures every now and then. I'm in the dark. But either way, can you imagine if you were a commander and you had the option to put cameras in the barracks and be watching it on a live TV on the weekends? On Friday nights as a major, I'd be like glued to it, like, don't fuck up, don't fuck
up. I'd watch that live stream.
I'd watch the shit out of – there should be smoke pit live streams that only enlisted veterans have access to, and you can't tattletale.
Same rules as OnlyFans. Like you can't. There's no picture sharing. You can't screenshot any videos. You can't do any of that stuff. I love that idea.
And you get to be like the Tom Green show. Your head gets to be on a TV in the smoke pit, hanging out with them.
That guy from the Tom Green show was something else. He was a special fella.
Just to wrap it up, I guess the hardest part too is like the idea that she doesn't know what's going on largely. So in my head, I'm thinking, oh my God, she thinks we're just leaving her with these people who are strangers and we're never coming back.
What is this?
What is this new place I'm in? Who are these other little people? I have no idea what's going
on. You don't have a mustache.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
For the first one. He's like, you got to wear this all day.
By the way, I'm so hesitant right now. Usually like after the holidays, I shave the mustache. I'm so scared to do it right now because I'm afraid
that
she'll still recognize my voice. But as long as she's been kind of with it, because I guess they kind of get with it and understand maybe around 3 months. I started the mustache this year in like October. So October, November, December, she's known me with a mustache. So if I just shave
it. What do you want to do? Slowly start trimming it down till it's just a little.
Your lip comes. Get real just Hitler with it. Yeah.
Yeah, get real Hitler with it. And then... I almost got him canceled. This close.
You remember when I got creamed in New York and I went up there and got my beard shaved when the Astros would have won their second World Series if I hadn't done it? I hadn't shaved ever in McCartney's entire life. And I think they were 8 or 9 years old at that point. And when I came home, they were like, what in the who is this guy?
But at least at 8 or 9, they know kind of you can talk to them and say, hey, this is what happened.
Right.
This one, if I shave the mustache, she's like, who is this stranger putting me to bed at night? So
probably used to it with all the strangers that have been hanging out with her all day. She's probably just a normal thing.
That's right.
Maybe.
That's basically my life.
If it was tough, but it got easier.
And Hans needs to talk to somebody about all the things that he's going through emotional with his dad or with his daughter going off to daycare for the first time. It's tough out here for a dad. And if you're having that tough time, you might want to talk to our friends at BetterHelp. This Zero Block 30 is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, I need to let you guys know something before I'm doing the ad read. My glasses aren't cutting it anymore. I'm trying to read these ad reads on a TV that are further away from my normal monitor because I'm in like the new office and in the studio and all that. So I don't know if I'm gonna be able to see anything. So my ad reads usually struggle sometime anyway. You know what, Kate, why don't you pull it up? Kate or Cons can pull up the BetterHelp read and we'll talk about that. I'm just kidding. I got it right here. So this Zero Block 30 is sponsored by BetterHelp. Around New Year's, we get obsessed with how to change ourselves instead of just expanding on what we're already doing. Maybe you find an, no, I can't do it. I can't see
it. I got it.
I can't see it.
I got it. On what we're already doing right. Maybe you finally organized one part of your space and you want to tackle another. Or maybe you're taking your supplements every morning and now you want to actually eat breakfast too. Therapy helps you find your strengths so you can ditch the extreme resolutions and make changes that really stick. And that's so important. Extreme resolutions never work. I mean, I've been thinking about what I'm going to do as resolutions, and it really is just that extension of things that I'm already doing. Just want to do it a little bit better because I think that's realistic. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime at no additional charge. Celebrate the progress you've already made in the 2 days that 2024 has been here. Visit BetterHelp.com/zero today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/zero.
So with the BetterHelp, my BetterHelp therapist actually helped me last week. Well, I can't say it's helped me yet. It's the first time that I'm doing a New Year's resolution that I'm actually going to try to do something. Because I told my therapist, one of my biggest issues is that once, and I know that so many people that take different types of medication are like that. Like I take Lamictal for being bipolar. So one of the things that happens with that is that you start feeling really normal and you feel pretty balanced. And then you're like, maybe I don't need my medicine, or you'll forget it a day or two. And the next thing you know, it's like a week and you haven't been on your medication. So my therapist was like, dude, what do you do every day that you know you're going to do every single morning when you get up? I was like, well, I know I'm going to drop a deuce. I know I'm doing that. I know I'm ripping a piss. I know that's happening. Thirdly, I know I'm brushing my teeth. She was like, so what you need to do is organize your medicine cabinet. Everything that you have to do in the morning stares you in the face whenever you open up your medicine cabinet. So right by my medicine cabinet, I've placed my toothbrush, my cologne, and my medications are all right there. So every morning when I wake up, I know I open up that thing and I'm going to see it and I'm going to take it. So that's my New Year's resolution. I'm going to take care of my mental health better by committing every single day to be doing my medication and my mental health regimen that I need to do. And also, got a bad report from the VA on my brain. My brain's not doing great. I also am going to start reading for 30 minutes a day, like actual reading, 30 minutes a day.
Yeah.
Tell you what. I go in spurts with reading where there will be a month, 2 months where I will crush 2 or 3 books and then I don't read for another 6 months and I hate myself for it.
Yeah. We hate you for it too, Cons.
I know. Yeah. I could tell.
Quietly for it.
I just find myself always looking at my phone and I just need to be like, dude, just put your phone down instead of reading social media for 30 minutes. Go read for 30 minutes.
Yep.
So I'm with you on that one. I'm going to keep you accountable on that. We can be like, hey, reading buddies, what'd you read today? Or what are you reading?
You know,
recently, can I tell you guys about a book I read recently? It's kind of war-y.
Please.
I usually not a war guy. Like whenever it comes to books, I don't usually read a lot of military stuff unless it's like preparing for a podcast interview or something like that. But I read Song of Achilles. Have you guys ever read that?
No.
Ever heard of it? Of Achilles?
It sounds familiar.
It's this book. It was really popular a couple years ago. I think it won some awards. But it's based on the story of Patroclus and Achilles. And Patroclus was Achilles' companion. And it starts out when Achilles was a young kid. And it follows the relationship of Patroclus and Achilles all the way through their lives and how they train together, how they live together, their romantic relationship, all these different things, the inner workings of all the different tribes in the area and what's going on in the Trojan and Spartan War, who took Helen, all these different things. It was the most I've been enthralled with the book. I don't even remember the last time. I was hanging on every single word of the book. It was amazing. I highly recommend Song of Achilles.
It's gonna be a real page turner.
Yeah. It was a page turner.
You know, it's crazy that Achilles, you know, he got the part of the body that brought him down just had the same name as him. Isn't that crazy?
About a coincidence.
Wild, right?
Coincidence.
What a coincidence.
Yeah, Achilles getting taken out by an arrow and the Houthis getting taken out by some naval warships, right, Kate?
They certainly are. So the Houthi group, also known as, while you guys were talking, I Googled the correct pronunciation of Houthi to make sure I got it right this time. Last time I was like, Houthi. I'm an expert, by the way. The Houthi group, also known as Ansarallah. That's cute. If I had a girl, maybe that's what I would.
That is a nice name, yeah.
Operations against Israel by launching missiles and drones on the southern parts of Israel, including the port and tourist city of Eilat in October, soon after the war started. Most of the projectiles were intercepted by the old Iron Dome, Israel and U.S. defenses, or fell short of the roughly 1,240-mile distance between the two countries. So the Houthis changed tactics and instead started focusing on ships near their shores. So they're going full pirate on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Missiles didn't work. Let's go pirate. They first, you wouldn't believe the amount of parrots they ordered. They blew their whole budget on parrots for their
shores. They love parrots. You're absolutely right.
Huge mistake. They have been firing missiles and launching attack drones at commercial ships.
Speaking of parrots, I need to interject something about a parrot. Yes, there was a TikTok that I saw, and there's this old man who had, it was terrible, he had lung cancer from smoking forever. He said he smoked from the time that he was 12 years old. He was in his late 70s whenever this was going on. His family bought him a gray parrot as a gift. So when his spouse died, he got a gray parrot so he'd have a companion that he didn't have to really take a whole lot of care of. Birds are largely self-sufficient. But the bird, they mimic the things that they hear. So this bird, after the fella had passed away, the family took in the gray parrot. And one of the things that the gray parrot mimics is the hacking cough sound that the dad used to make all the time. So the parrot is sitting there while the family is eating cereal. And he's like, it just goes on over and over.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. So you can choose what's right for each of you. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Quiets their snores? Sleep Number does that. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards, only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Over again. And the daughter is like, I really thought that we were going to get away from this now that dad's passed on, but he's hacking up behind the grave too.
He lives. That's a great way to have yourself live on, is to get a young parrot when you're old and teach it horrible way. Yeah. Well, I like that more than the Houthi say.
I know.
Anyway, Houthi, they now, any ship they see that they think or claim is linked to Israel, they go for it. So, they seized a vessel last month that they're still holding in a Yemeni port. Their attacks have stopped many ships from making their way to Israel. The Houthis are feeling emboldened. They perceive that they have won the civil war in Yemen and that their position is unchallenged domestically, said a professor of international affairs. They also probably assess that the U.S. and its regional partners are keen to avoid an escalation of the war in Gaza to a full-blown regional war. And it's kind of like they keep poking, knowing that there's only so much we can do, that our hands are tied.
I think they're totally right in that, too. Yeah. Like, with all these different reports that are coming around and what they're doing, you know, like, President Biden and the administration are like, come on, dude. Like, we do not want to fuck you up, but we will. Like, if you and they're going to have to. If they keep doing what they're doing, they're going to have to fuck them up. Going after.
At least 12 shipping companies have suspended transit through the Red Sea due to the Houthi attacks. They include some of the largest in the world. U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin announced the establishment of a 10-country force on Tuesday in Bahrain. In addition to the Arab nation, the U.K., Canada, France, Italy, Netherlands, Norway, and the Seychelles and Spain have agreed to join Washington in its new mission. Some of the countries are expected to conduct joint patrols in the southern parts of the Red Sea, the Bab al-Mandab Strait, longtime stoolies in the Bab al-Mandab Strait, and the Gulf of Aden, while others will support the force by providing intel. Basically, they're like, this is fucking with us too. This ship, you fuck with shipping, you fuck with the world. Basically, yeah. I mean, you really do. So they're, once it starts to affect us, we're getting involved here. The mission will be coordinated by the Combined Task Force 153, an existing force. It's U.S.-led. It started in April 2022 with the aim of improving maritime security in the area. The existing framework has 39 member nations, and now this 10-member maritime force is, I guess, adding to that kind of thing. So the Houthis have promised to stand up to any U.S.-led efforts and only stop their attacks once Israel stops its war in Gaza. So they're like, come for us. We will go. Mm-hmm. We will go to the last man. We don't give a shit. They have signaled that attacks are open to talks, but diplomacy has so far failed to stop the attacks. For its part, Iran has warned Washington that its joint maritime effort will face extraordinary problems. I think all these Middle Eastern countries that are pulling the strings behind Hamas and the Houthis and whatever, they're just loving this. They're playing. What's that? Where you have the dolls on the strings?
Yeah.
They're, no. Yeah, basically all these little rebel groups are their puppets, and they're doing roundabout proxy war shit, knowing that our hands are kind of tied. So, yeah, things have just been escalating more and more and more, and they're just, the Houthis are just fucking shit up and being an enormous pain in the ass. As recently as December, would this be December 31st of last year?
Yeah, this year.
Already passed.
Yeah.
As recently as December 31st, U.S. Navy helicopters in the Red Sea sank three boats operated by Houthi rebels on Sunday, killing all 10 crew members on the boats after Houthi fighters attacked a commercial freighter in the Red Sea, as well as the Navy helicopters responding to the ship's defense, to the ship's distress call. So they were firing upon, there's like U.S. military members seeing action out there.
Oh, getting injured. Yeah. Like there's been like several that have been injured. Yeah. And since the October 7th attack, there's been tons of involvement on this. And that's why over the course of the last couple of months, there's been more and more news about what they're doing and sending drone strikes to different maritime ships. They're sending them at different U.S. vessels, and they're really just kind of poking the bear. And I think it's got to get to a point where you're not going to get poked anymore, because these are not just our interests, like financially, but like our people too. Like that's a big part of it is our people.
Well, not just our people, but our allies as well. Other countries that are allies. What kind of doesn't sit well with me though too, is they're attacking commercial freighters. Do you think an occupational hazard of being in that shipping industry should be that you need to worry about pirates and being attacked? I feel like that's.
I think that's all over the globe though, right now. I think pirating is back in a big way.
Oh yeah.
Like I actually fell down a TikTok rabbit hole of watching those North Sea videos where it's like, yo,
oh yeah,
oh the bro, rum the brow the water. I'll watch those anytime they come on. But I have seen a lot of the pirating videos. Have you seen what the anti-pirating ships do now? Like what they have on the ships in order to stop them? One of the main things, I think it's really fucking awesome. And it would be so much fun to have this MOS, Super Soakers. They take water guns to a whole new level.
Oh, yeah. Like in Captain Phillips in the movie where they turn the guns and to prevent them from climbing aboard the ships.
But they've made them even better. Like like the Captain Phillips ones, those are rookie shit. Like the ones that they have now, they're shooting out like 3-4 football fields of steady laser-like streams of water that are coming at these people. They do that. They use an old method that we used to use a lot in Constantina wire. So they take these Constantina wire and they'll use it with like bobbers on it, essentially, that keeps it up in the water. And they float these Constantina wires out into the water because their propellers and things are so deep that anything that's coming up on the surface, like a surface prop, is going to hit that, and they're not going to be able to go through it. So it'll put hundreds of yards of Constantina wire out. They're using straight up like fire guns, essentially, in a lot of places where if they're getting close, they're just doing streams of fire as they're coming up. If you have to take that level of care, there must be a lot more pirating that's going on than we know about.
Right. Yeah. Like the fact that they've evolved it so much and taking care to and taking the time to figure out new ways. Yeah.
Just think how long it takes to really invent or make it practical to have that level of Constantina wire in the water, like to come up with that. Like, this is such a problem. This is what we're going to do.
I would hook my water pressure hose up to our septic system.
Oh,
because if I'm a pirate, all I can deal with like regular hose. I do not want poopy on me. I don't want to be a poopy pirate.
No.
I don't.
Excellent. Cover the boat in petroleum jelly. Gosh darn it. You're oily enough. Anyway, the White House has said we're going to act in self-defense going forward. So basically, like, fuck around, find out. We're not coming at you, but you fuck around, you're going to find out.
And they should.
So, yeah.
Rightfully they should, so. Crazy. You only get pushed so much.
Yes. But
basically, snafu situation is still really all fucked up over there. And it's just a mess, to put it eloquently.
Very much a mess. All right, let's move on to round number two. Also a mess. What do we got here, Kate? This one, I saw it from you, Kate, so I'm excited.
I was scrolling Twitter at whatever time. I'm always sitting here in my chair scrolling Twitter, breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
Brag. And I don't know why that would be a brag.
No, it's a brag. Yeah.
Great tits by me. And I saw this tweet from this guy, @BradMiller1010. He's paying for the blue check mark. He's a blue check mark guy. And he said, I'm like, who is this? He looks, his picture is very vet. He's got it's a vet, classic vet in a hat with a vet beard. Okay. Only thing that's missing is a truck that he's written in, which I'm pretty sure he does that too. But here's what he tweeted. At 4 a.m. EST today, parentheses, a few minutes ago,
yes, senior timestamp didn't tell us that.
Yeah. Senior military leaders received an email with a letter attached called the Declaration of Military Accountability. I know. Because I sent the email.
Boom, mic drop.
Whoa.
What a badass. Woo. We got a badass.
I sent it on behalf of myself and 230 other signatories of the letter. The letter is not addressed to the military leaders, but rather to the American people. How do you like that for a twist? I didn't see that coming.
Didn't see it.
The email was merely to inform these military leaders that there is a group of troops and vets pledging to the American public that we will do everything lawfully within our power to stop the willful destruction of our military by its own leadership. Okay. Let's take our country back in 2024 and let's begin by defending our military from its own leadership. This is one of those where you say a million things, but you've said nothing.
Yes.
Well, that's their whole letter. That's the entire letter.
The entire letter is, you can find the body of the letter below. Soon we'll have it on a website, where you can find it as well, along with the names of the 231 signatories. Now, I looked at the signatories and found some of them online.
Oh, boy.
What a group of characters. My God. To be a fly on the wall of this group, what a hoot. And I scrolled his timeline. I know we laugh at the cliche of, like, the angry veteran in the truck holding his phone at an angle, ranting about, you know, the way things should be and, you know, this woke culture, blah, blah. Half his timeline was his buddies doing that unironically, which was predictable. Anyway, this letter is a lot. There's a lot of things in bold, couple things in italics, couple quotes from John Adams. It's got it all. So they're pretty serious. All right.
Yeah.
Do you want me to start reading
it? Yeah, I think we got to go through some of it. Yeah.
Do we have to?
Yeah, I think we do. I think the people need to hear.
Just give some highlights, not the
whole thing. No, I think highlights, okay, but we got to go through some of this stuff.
Go ahead.
In the course of human events, it sometimes becomes necessary to admonish the lawless, encourage the faint-hearted, and strengthen the weak. We have reached just a such time in our history. And I love that this guy has such an elevated sense. He thinks he's doing that with, like, here's a tweet with some other goofy veterans. And he's like,
by the way,
okay.
Our military, the Google machine tells me there's about 1.4 million people across our military. 230 is 1%.
But cons, there's a lot of military. Bots. There's a lot of bots picking this up too. So that's key.
Okay.
Let's see. The Department of Defense is failing to fulfill the moral obligations upon which they were founded. Standing upon our natural and constitutional rights, we hereby apprise the American people that we have exhausted all internal efforts to rectify recent criminal activity within the armed forces. Buddy, I would love to sit down and hear what you've been doing to do that. You don't provide any examples, but it sounds cool as shit.
It really does. Really that whole thing. I mean, you know that guy at the beginning of the movies where he's like, in a world. I think that that should be the voice of how this letter is like on audiobook, where in the course of human events,
we
it sometimes becomes necessary to admonish the
American
law.
People. They use the word hereby a lot, which gets me going.
Where are we at on moreovers?
Yeah. In the Declaration of Independence, our founding fathers sought separation. We seek no separation, but through this letter and the efforts we pledge herein, we pursue the restoration through accountability, blah, 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 blah. They
that's ridiculous. They were talking about separation. We're not talking about that here, but we still just wanted to mention the Declaration of Independence because that was another declaration.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, now, here's the part.
We kind of already know what the subject of it is, but I didn't when I was first reading it. When Kate first sent it and I was reading the article, there was something I was like, oh, this might be good. Like the things that it might be okay. Like the things that they're going to say here, maybe it is something that really needs some attention. Because the way that they started off, it's very grandiose. Like you're like, oh shit, man, this is about to be intense.
But here's what they're hung up on. This is what it's all about. The COVID-19 vaccine mandate. Military leaders broke the law, trampled constitutional rights, denied informed consent, permitted unwilling medical experimentation, and suppressed the free exercise of religion. Service members and families were significantly harmed by these actions. Their suffering continues to be felt financially, emotionally, and physically. Some service members became part of an ever-growing veteran homeless population. Some developed debilitating vaccine injuries. That's in bold. Debilitating vaccine injuries. Again, I'd love to see. It's always like the goofy, like kind of hot lady. She's always kind of hot for some reason. Who's like, oh no, I got the vaccine. And then it's like her wiggling around inside a Walmart, trying to walk down an aisle of Walmart. It's like, ma'am. Okay. Good. The Academy Award goes to you. Anyway, some even lost their lives. In an apparent attempt to avoid accountability, military leaders are continuing to ignore our communications regarding these injuries and the laws that were broken. They're probably like, oh God damn it. This 1010 Twitter guy is sending us another fucking message. Oh, He names a bunch of generals and admirals.
He named like essentially everybody in the highest echelons of the military, like all the different joint chiefs, all the different under chiefs, the secretaries of defense, of secretary of the different departments, all those type of people.
These individuals enabled lawlessness and the unwilling experimentation on service members, the moral and physical. Because I had seen something about it's about moral injury. And I thought, oh, maybe he's talking about the way these wars ended, this 20 years of war, moral injury. And that's what got me interested to click. And it was like, oh God. Oh, okay. All right. These leaders refuse to resign or take any other action. Leaders cannot cast aside constitutional rights. An institution can put its own house on. Basically, I'm reading the things they bolded, but it just goes on and on and on, but it doesn't really say anything except this buzzwords. It's a lot of buzzwords.
And it's over the COVID vaccine. Like, right. I think that was one of the things that stuck out to me the most. There is a time for, I think, for veterans and active duty troops to be like indignant about certain things. Like, I think the righteous indignation after the Afghanistan withdrawal was probably the most united I've seen veterans since we've been doing this podcast. It was either
there
that
was
or when the Pact Act
that both sides could get behind that.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah, like, and it wasn't about party. It wasn't about any of that stuff. It was just, this is the wrong thing to do, and people were still doing it. But to waste all of your time on this is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it very much had very big Billy Madison in all your own incoherent rambling. You know, you never made any points and may God have mercy on your soul type. That's exactly how I read it, because I honestly read it the first time and I thought to myself, I have no idea the point they're trying to make. And then you go back and you realize, oh, it's just all over the COVID vaccine.
And there was no real examples of anything.
No.
And then if you go and click through the other signers of it, it immediately loses even more credibility than it had before, because you're like, oh, this is the Wackadoo Express. And I get people being annoyed about the vaccine. Like, I understand where, I try and understand where people are coming from, blah, blah. But at this point, I like can't entertain this. Like,
there's so many other things that are a bigger deal than,
especially
this.
Yes, in the military. The military is facing a lot of other problems. Honestly,
huge problems.
And I promise you, none of these people gave a shit about any of the other million vaccines you had to get when you first go through boot camp. Blah blah.
Right?
Blah. Like, you didn't even know what they were for. You whatever.
Yeah. So, did you ask like all those shots what they were for? No. You just sat and you had to go to freaking, you know, medical and get all your shots. It's ridiculous. I mean,
when I went to Japan, I was here. Oh, I was in San Antonio at Lackland whenever I got the orders to go to Japan. And my staff NCO or whoever it was, like, came up and gave me like a list on a piece of paper. He's like, go down to medical. You have to get signed off that you had all these vaccines that you have to do. It's like 11 or something like that before you could go to Japan. I wasn't Googling anything. I wasn't heading on down to the Lackland Library to pull out the Mayo Clinic book on what's going on with that. You just get told to do it and you do it. I'm surprised that this was the reaction. But I do agree with Kate. Like, if you are very against getting a vaccine, I understand why you're mad. And I understand that you're mad that you lost, like, your ability to work in the Department of Defense. And I don't think that that probably, like, looking back, should that have happened? It's hard to say, man. Like, the way that things were then, it's easy to look back now and be like, oh, no, it wasn't that bad. There was legit body coolers outside of major hospitals because there's too many corpses. And people, I mean, like, now it's like, oh, COVID wasn't that bad. You had, like, there were so many comments like, oh, because you lost a little bit of talk, like, you lost a little bit of flavor in your mouth. You can't taste anything.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just hindsight's always obviously 2020. So for these people to continue, though, to live in the rearview mirror as though their lives were drastically altered, I don't know. It just seems very attention grabbing and attention seeking to me, especially when they don't give any concrete examples of any of their laws that they claim were broken. And I'm sure we'll get attacked about this topic online by some of the vet bros.
Well, I just want to tell us. Her. So attention seeking. Anyway, my titty's out right now. I'm about to breastfeed on the pod.
If you want to see that, go to the YouTube, ZeroBlog30 YouTube, subscribe, because Kate's been feeding her baby basically on every show. So hey, maybe we'll fall in. What's that?
Three vaccines today against his will, mind you.
Oh,
and he's also crying a good amount. So maybe they're onto something. I don't know.
Tell you what, last week, my daughter, she got three vaccines. She didn't like it. Unbelievable.
Nope. She already got flu and COVID last week, too. Wasn't a fan. Didn't matter. Put your ass in the chair. You're getting it. All right. Let's move on to round number three. This one is a little bit different. Quick. I had no idea. One, that did you guys know that the Netherlands had, or that Denmark had a monarch?
No.
I assume every European country has one. Sporks here on breastfeeding.
I feel like that's a safe assumption a lot of times.
How many countries in the world do you think have a monarch?
More than I think, probably.
42.
I was going to say 35.
24 is the number.
All right.
Which is more than I thought that there would be. I had no idea. And the royal family has that thing on lock. They have the royal family on lock. Nobody knows about any of these. Well, I wanted to mention this one because I think it's cool that people abdicate. I would never abdicate. If I was the king, I'm dying king. I'm not.
Princess of Japan did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she left just because she wanted to get married to a normal.
Yeah.
Did you know that Japan has the longest running monarch in our monarchy in world history?
No.
I would have assumed England did.
It goes, Japan has the same line of ascension going back to 600 BC.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's pretty neat. I would love to be part of a royal family, but from like one of the lesser known countries where, you know, your country doesn't really stir up trouble anywhere. It doesn't. Where?
Genovia.
Oh,
yeah. Something Genovia. Like where you can just like run around the world and say like, I'm a prince. But nobody really gets upset with you, but you're so cool because you're a prince.
To put that into perspective, 600 BC, that's the same year that the prophet Elijah was walking around and doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, yes, Elijah.
Long time story.
Lest we forget the prophet
Elijah.
So this guy, the monarch, the queen, she had been queen. She's 83 years old. She had been queen for 50 years. She's been the queen of Denmark for 52 years. And so she was like, you know what? I'm going to step down. leave it to my son. Now, I only mentioned this for one fact. I want to see if you guys know this. When do you think Tolkien wrote Lord of the Rings?
1972.
Cons?
Isn't it much earlier? Like, I don't know, like 1909?
So whenever I had thought of Tolkien, I don't know if this is like the same type of Trent when I found out that Picasso died in 1970s. I thought Tolkien was around the same time as Shakespeare, like the 1600s. I had no idea that fucker died in the 1970s. Had no idea. He wrote this in 1950. The Queen of Denmark, whenever I was looking up stuff about her, she did one of the first illustrations of the book, of one of the scenes that really? He describes. She loved the book so much that she sent it to Tolkien himself. Tolkien thought that she had done such a great job that he included it in any of the Dutch language. Tolkien is still her drawings that are depicting the scenes that he's talking about. Isn't that crazy?
Yes. Interesting.
All right, let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Kate, we'll start with you.
Oh, you know, just thriving over here, just chilling. Went to Knoxville over the break with two kids. We drove and they did great. So that was shocking. The drive down was pretty rough. A drive that should have taken us 5 hours because we split it in half took over 8.
Nice. So
that's kind of tough.
That's brutal.
I found that Cabela's and Bass Pro Shops are a great spot to stop with your if you're watching on YouTube. I'm sorry.
So if you're just listening to the audio, which most of you do, Kate has been talking during save rounds and Spork is like right. His head is right where her face should be.
Yeah, it's as though Spork is talking.
Oh, boy. Anyway, no, I'm done. That's it for me.
All right. Cons.
Obviously, we don't have royal families here, but we have, like, dynasty-type families, you know, Vanderbilt, Rockefeller, Bushes, Kennedys. Who's your favorite American dynasty family? By the way, you give me any dynasty family, you give me a documentary on them, and I'm watching it 10 out of 10 times. I love American dynasty families, but who's your favorite dynasty family?
Ooh.
Probably the Mannings.
The Hiltons.
Okay. Both good choices. Both good choices.
Yeah. The Kardashians.
The Kardashians are a good one. They might be the most wealthy.
No shot. No shot. They're more wealthy than like the Bushes, Kennedys, Vanderbilts, Rockefellers.
Are any of the Kennedys billionaires?
I'm pretty sure adjusted for inflation, Joe Kennedy was a billionaire.
Right now. I think they're the richest American dynasty right now.
Somebody can fact check.
The Waltons.
Yeah. You got the Waltons. You got the DuPont family. I think there's many. I think obviously the Kardashians are all up in our face, so that's why you might think that. But I think there's generational wealth being formed by these other families that have lasted for many, many generations.
Yeah, so, the generationally wealthy families have generational wealth. True.
Yeah, isn't that crazy how it works out? Kind of like the Achilles thing. Weird coincidences on today's really show. I guess now it's interesting because you both live in cold climates. And Chaps, you didn't before, but Kate, you have lived in cold climates. I find myself now being in the suburbs. Regardless of the temperature, I do all of my errands in shorts because I'm in the car. I'm outside for a matter of 10 seconds from the car to go inside somewhere. I only put pants on when we have to go do things. I'm doing all errands in shorts.
You have adapted to the suburbs life so quickly and so well.
Big time dad moves.
I loved your tweet where you said every store you go in your new neighborhood, you're like new to the area and people are like come on over. I do the same thing here, pal.
I love it. I just moved to the area, but I'm from the area originally. So then, you know, I just get into all that. The holidays was nuts around here. We hosted, I think, people here 7 of 9 days. There was a 9-day stretch. We hosted people 7 days. It was just bananas. So I'm looking forward to now January being a little bit slower.
Hey, what's that big party you invited me to on the 6th? You wanted to celebrate the 2-year anniversary of something, of American independence, or what was that?
No, I think you have me confused with one of those vet bros you were reading
what
about
was that
today.
Vision you sent me this morning, Cons.
Yeah. So, sorry. Last thing. Did you all happen to see President Trump's New Year's Eve party where Vanilla Ice was performing.
It was electric.
With a guy in a Ninja Turtle outfit. And I think there's so many people who that goes right over their head. But Ninja Rap and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
Ninja,
2 was
go
a
Ninja,
banger.
Go Ninja, yes. Go Ninja.
So good. Bebop and Rocksteady. I mean, come on. The whole squad out there. But honestly, if I was at a party and Vanilla Ice came out and showed up and started rapping at New Year's, I would be amped. Like, yes. I think it's a better memory than most musicians that you could have. Like, if it was a big name, like Dave Matthews, give me Vanilla Ice.
Yeah.
At a New Year's party.
Definitely for a good story, too. And that just reminded me, too. It's crazy how many times in 90s movies, the people in the movie and across all sorts of movies, but people in the movie would just break into random choreographed dances and somehow they all knew the dance regardless.
I
want
to do that.
Yeah.
I've never known a choreographed dance in my life.
It was a pre-flash mob, flash mob, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like in Can't Hardly Wait. No, it was the one at the prom. Oh, Can't Hardly Wait. No.
10 Things I Hate About You. No.
No. The one where he transforms, where he just took off her glasses. Freddie Prinze Jr. I'm blanking on the name of the movie.
Oh, she's all that.
She's all that. Yeah.
That one. Encino Man, there was choreography. The Ninja Turtles and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2 did a choreographed dance with Vanilla Ice. Doesn't get any better. So that's all I got.
The only choreographed thing I've ever done like that is Final Drill at boot camp. That's it.
Same thing.
Yeah. I don't really have anything. Very low key, awesome break. Just chilling with the fam, doing a little snow. My nephew was up here from Florida. Dude had never seen snow at all, like in his life, not even flurries or anything.
Your town has a sled library. I love that.
Yeah. So
never saw that before. That's so cool.
Right. So we wake up. It's their last day. They were leaving the following day, New Year's Day. We wake up, or New Year's Eve. I don't know what day it was. So it was snowing, and the whole park that right by where I live is covered in snow. And my nephew had never seen it before. He wakes up, we open up the big window in the front of our house, and he's like, oh my God, it's so pretty out there. And it's just such a genuine 11-year-old little kid reaction. And when we get to the park, it hadn't been touched yet. We go out there pretty early. Nobody else had been out there. It was untouched snow. And he gets there, and his feet hit the sidewalk by the park when we're walking there. And he goes, Uncle Matthew, doesn't this just look like a dream? I was like, that is the sweetest thing. And then we go up there. I have this little, like a Razor scooter, but it's a Razor scooter snowboard.
I've seen those. Yeah.
Pretty cool. So the kids were going down on that, and I have that. And then we get to this other little part, and there's this box, and I put it up on my Instagram if you want to see it, but it's carved out with a router where it says, sled library, where it's a little box where the town had put in, there's 10, 15 sleds that were in this place. And the town sent out an email that they did it because they want kids who don't have sleds or they can't afford sleds. Everybody should be able to enjoy the snow no matter what income level your family is. And I think that's incredible, man. Being in a place that does that for different people and having Cardi and Gabe picking up the different sleds and running down and sledding on it. It's like living in the 70s or 80s here. Where kids still play outside. It's crazy to me.
I'm telling you, I distinctly remember certain winters where we had a lot of snow, and some of the best memories were just sledding with friends or with my family. It really is. It's such a simple thing, but it's so fun every time. And I don't think you outgrow it. So I think it's awesome that you got to experience that, and probably will get to experience it for years to come. And I just think that's one of the treats about living somewhere that you get all the seasons, and especially winter when you can get snow.
The best
really is a lot of fun.
Big snowstorm and all, the parents would start boozing, and then they totally forgot you had been outside for 15 hours and couldn't feel your face or your fingers anymore. That was sick.
Yeah. Hey man, your face is cracked. What's going on with that?
Kids were all frozen in the backyard. Those were the days.
All right, well, we're back now.
The long
break is over. I'm sure all of you are settling back into work. We'll be settled back into the podcast soon. Kate will be back. We're going to have less babies on the show soon. How much longer do you have on maternity leave, Kate?
Till End of February, folks. February 20th.
Maybe not. We got a while to go.
I think I'm going to start popping in and doing a little more here and there. We just got to get him on the bottle is the issue. I've been trying for a couple weeks now. And I even at the pediatrician today went to talk to her about it. And she's like, uh-oh, you might be fucked.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys next week. Sound the retreat.
All right.